act of man according to Scripture. There's a whisk of smoke, the vapor of smoke, that appeareth for a while and soon vanished away. Each of us, in our few years, have an opportunity to meet some great experiences, moments of high ecstasy. Each of us, because of perhaps a choosing of the wrong way, have also the possibility, I won't call it an opportunity, of meeting those things that would bring moments of heartache and sorrow, degradation and destruction. I am happy tonight that in the few moments of time that I have been permitted to live, I have had mostly those experiences that have been of a nature to lift, to cause me to rejoice. Recently I met a man. I knew him for some length of years now. He's a man that has made numerous wrong choices in life, to that point that where he's now become totally blind spiritually. I met him by accident recently in a store, and we greeted one another and shook hands. He said, "Where have you been? I haven't seen you for a long time." "Well," I said, "I've been with one of my brothers way up in northern New York, upper New York, and next to the Canadian border." "What are you doing there?" I said, "Preaching. I'm a preacher, you know." "Oh," he said, "I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in that stuff." He said, "We've got more preachers than we ever had in the history of the world. We've got more churches than we ever had in the history of the world. We've got more turmoil and strife in this world than we ever had before in the history of the world. We've got more hate than we ever had in the history of the world, and the two preachers just caused it all." I said, "I will agree with you. We have more preachers than we ever had in the history of the world. I will agree with you that we got more churches than we ever had in the history of the world. And I'll agree with you that we have more strife and turmoil and hate than we ever had in the history of the world. But," I said, "I disagree with you about who is responsible." And I said, "I have observed your life for many years." And we were in a store where there were young people listening. And I said, "I like you. I don't like your ways. And in my observation of you, you are not a happy man. You don't have anything that I'm able to see or discern for which I would trade anything I have." And I told him that I believe that happiness comes from obedience to the master of men. And the sin-sick world now is warring in destructive hate, immorality, all kind of iniquity, because of the wrong choosing that men like yourself have made down through the years. It might be well to have a good look in the looking glass and determine who it is that's responsible for the trouble in the world. Lay it at the proper feet. I am happy tonight that in these few moments of time that I've been able to live, that I have been able to see young children grow up in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I can make comparison with those who have not had the privilege of growing up in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, as I observed the young people, and as I heard these beautiful songs by the choir, I look there and I see some faces that I have known from the time they were born. And I can look back and I can see their life and I can see what influenced their life. And I know beyond question why they're here instead of some room of destructive sin. That may happen to us. I don't want to brag on you, Hubert. It's probably not worth it. None of it is worth bragging on. But I recall seeing this man, Hubert James, when he looked about like the little character set up here in Overhaul with a big hat. And he wore just that kind of hat. And he didn't get over until he was a man. That was what he said. But I recall seeing him standing on a stage in a little church down on Harvard Street where my son, with Don McAdoo, many others of the youngsters of those days, that were young in those days, and he was with the others was singing Away in the Main. Lord Jesus laid his hand. No place for a bed, but the Lord Jesus laid down in your head. Well, you know, this is a very mediocre experience, you might say, but I wouldn't trade it for hardly anything I know of. Because I have lived to see the results of these little ones singing away in a manger. Oh yes, some of them grow up and drift. Might be as a result of too much permission by the parents. Or many things cause these things. But in these fleeting moments of time that I have experienced, what joy is in my heart because of the family that I was raised in, as we spoke of a family today, the family, we prayed to the family. Greatest institution on earth, the family, with its family order. And I had the good fortune of being raised in a family and that was conducted and supervised by a God-fearing man and a God-fearing woman. And they made such an impression upon me as a little boy, smaller than the little fellow wearing the big hat. He'd come down through the avenue of time, through these fleeting moments, and come to with me today. The impression they made. Such an impression that as a little tot, I sought the secret closets in prayer for my well-being and my welfare in the far distant future of the fleeting moment of heaven. And I thank God that due to that training, I was able to most of the time at least keep my feet close and on sometimes an aircraft. Oh, I've made mistakes. I'm human. But I have constantly been able to turn back to when I have felt the coldness and the hardness in my heart against God, against people. There was only one out of safety, and that was on the knees in prayer. And there, upon occasion, when the world seemed dark, the Lord God and His Holy Spirit came to my rescue and lifted me upon many occasions. Remember that. You young people who have had moments of darkness, oh, you'll have them. There was one man who rose to his feet in this assembly yesterday, I believe it was, and he said he came to this place. And here he found life. What is the object and what is the reason for life? It's to illuminate so you can see, so you can live safe, so you can walk safe. And the reason that he found life here was because there were men and women whose desires were pointed towards the divine being. And knowing his will, and at least in part willing to obey his will. And by that willingness, and by that zeal, and by that desire, you have invited the Spirit of God Almighty to be in your midst. How do I know? There is such a thing as the power of the Holy Ghost, and don't forget it. But I sat in that very place with Bill Williams sitting just the other day. And due to the invitation that you have sent out in unison for his Spirit, it came down on me like a flood and almost consumed my being. To the point I was almost prostrate. I could hardly stand. My physical being was almost consumed, as it seemed. And it rested with me for a while. It gave me no message, except the fact there is a power that deals with men and women. And a power for good. Oh, I recognize it for good. It was not a power of darkness, but it was a marvelous power of light. We have met for the past 3 days in what we term a reunion. Reunion means a uniting again. A uniting again. And for the past 3 days, there has been a wonderful uniting of both mind and spirits and hearts. And that's what it takes to be one. And unless you are at one, as Christ and God are one, you are not mine, says the Master. And by that he means not one. If I should wear a blue suit and you should wear a blue suit, and I should live in a White House and you should live in a White House. No, but one in purpose. One in purpose. And when this congregation knelt one in purpose in mighty prayer for the problems and the heartaches and the difficulties of other members, and in compassion they reached out and felt the need of another individual, they became at that moment a mighty force. A mighty force. Through which and by which they can call upon the Master of Men, and he is duty bound to hear honest and sincere prayers. And the promise is that if we are of the right mind and of the right spirit and the right unity, you can ask for what you will. If it be right, then you will receive. So we need, oh how we need, from time to time the spirit of revival in our midst. Mankind has been so constructed that it is very simple and very easy for him to be lifted by the mighty power in his need. And in a few short days or weeks or months, the power he becomes not needful. He gave himself faith for a while. He soon the great power that lifted him in his need. And for that reason, he needs revival. He needs reminding from time to time. In 66 years after Christ, Peter was aware of that need. And I would like to read to you. He was aware of the need of a revival of the truth, of the knowledge of the truth, of a remembrance of the truth, to be given or to be brought to the minds of the people. And so we turn to 2 Peter, the first chapter, and I would like to read first from the 12th and the 13th verses of the first chapter of 2 Peter. Wherefore, he says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know it. How many here feel like they don't know what is right and wrong? How many here feel like they don't know some of the real principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Repentance and baptism, obedience. And how many here at many times have just simply turned their back on the knowledge? And because of the folk of the world and the lust of the place, have for the moment denied the Master. Remember, though your sins be as scarlet, according to the great sign of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they can be washed as white as snow. Christ knew that we, being human, were prone and apt to stub our toes. And so he became the advocate for mankind. And at this very moment, Jesus Christ is the advocate for the problem, the cause of the children of men, to the Father and his Father in heaven. An advocate means one who pleads the cause of another. Don't forget that in your darkest hour, the Master weeps. And don't forget that in your darkest hour, he pleads your cause to his Father in heaven. And if he can just find the spark, yes, the spark of desire in your heart to write about faith and build a new heart and a new mind, he'll be there. Give you all the assistance in the world. By that great power that leads men into the Spirit and into the knowledge of the truth. Call the Spirit of truth. Call the Holy Ghost. Which you have been given as a gift. After the waters of baptism and the laying on of hands. You don't have to use it. If I would give you a gift, regardless of what it may be, you wouldn't have to use it. And a gift becomes absolutely useless, not being used. But it is a gift, remember. You might lay it on the shelf, and you might go for years without using it. But whenever you have the desire to know, that gift of the Holy Ghost will be there to strengthen you and I. And your courage, and your zeal, and your determination. But you have to want and desire the assistance. I will not neglect to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and reestablish the present truth. So who is he speaking to? He's speaking to it. Body of Christ. But he felt it needful to remind them of the great promises, though they were already established in that great, those great truths. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Oh, well, what did he want to put them in remembrance of? Now, let's go back to the beginning of his second epistle to the saints, and let us read beginning to the first verse of the first chapter, and possibly read 11 verses. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He wanted to remind them of that. That grace and peace is ours to have and to know. Through the knowledge of our Lord and of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master. Have we forgotten from whence comes our strength? When we get in the depths of degradation, it is very simple and very easy for us to forget from whence comes our strength. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What is it that he has given? Given unto us. Those people who have espoused the gospel of Jesus Christ have all things pertaining to life, and that is the gospel of the purity. And it's for us. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only saving quality in this earth, upon this earth. Man has, through the years, in his wisdom, striven hard to control and manage his own affairs. And the nations of the earth have forgotten God to a large extent, in particular the leaders. And they have proven beyond question they are not qualified and they are incapable of managing the affairs of the human race. Whereby are given unto us by the gospel exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I feel that it has been my privilege to a large extent to have escaped that corruption. Oh, how grateful I am. But not entirely. My spirit and my heart proved. And the mistakes that I've made through the years, how regretful I am now. And oh, how I thank my God that he has been mindful of my needs. And I just keep coming back to a great testimony, I believe, a great testimony upon one occasion when the Lord come to my rescue, when I had the desire of the face and the pull of the world, because I was working with men daily who were engaging in all kinds of sin. They thought they were having a good time. They thought they were really having a good time because they didn't know how to compare real joy with a lust of the flesh. Because they had never had any real joy. They had never walked after the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I heard their stories daily. And then finally it began to smut and smear the screen of my spirituality to where it wasn't too clear anymore. And the desires in my heart were mine. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I could have so much fun? But the Lord came to my rescue. I don't know what he saw in me. Oh, I'm thanking my God in heaven that he saw something sufficiently. He gave me a warning. And yet I had my free agency. I could still go contrary to the warning. And many do. But the individuals who have been fortunate enough to have been reared in God-fearing families have a strength that many more unfortunate individuals don't have. And that's why you need the church family. That they can substitute. And through their love and their compassion and their teaching, they might plant your feet upon the proper path. And if you can feel that love, and feel it to be genuine, you would be a hardened individual, surely, if it didn't make some warming feeling around the heart and change the evil ways and the evil thoughts and desires of the flesh to a more profitable way of life. But in my own experience, I will not go into detail, but many of you may not, I don't know, I know most of you do, you believe in dreams. Not because we eat too much pie and cause us to have some kind of a nightmare, and this is possible, but according to Scripture, the Lord God conveys himself and his information to the men upon the earth in many different ways, by the still small voice that speaks to the soul of the man, and by dreams. By visions of the night, by audible voice, where you can't see an individual. Oh, there's many ways. And in the small reaches of the night, the Lord God touched my intelligence with a dream. And he also touched my intelligence with the interpretation of the evil. Anyway, many of you have heard this. I'm not going to repeat it. But this dream showed me, before I reached the depths of degradation, what I was heading for. And showed me the briars and the brambles of which I was going through was not only tearing my clothes but tearing my flesh. And I cried out before I ever reached the goal of sin that I wanted to reach. Oh my God, what have I done? And I turned around and I wanted to go back. And I saw there a sign on a large hand like that, and then the sign across that index finger, oh, the hand was big enough, he couldn't get it in this room, was in flaming fire, pointing to the place I had come down, which had been so easy, a great road, a wide path, that I could just go with a more simple and easy effort to this bit of destruction where I thought the pleasure. But the road back was just a little different. As I looked at that hand across that finger written in flaming fire were these words, the road back. And as I looked at the road back, it looked so difficult. In my heart and my mind, I said to myself, impossible. How can any man make it? I can't help but pass that on from time to time. In particular to the young people, that's where it belongs. When the fire and the lust can get a hold of your passion, and it can be so strong that it can blot out judgment, sober thinking, and it can destroy your very soul. You need family. You can find it only among people who are striving to be obedient to the gospel law. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be protected of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. And besides this, giving unto all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Number of things you should add. And I dare say, I feel that I lack many of these things. I don't like to point the finger to anybody. I see some awful good people out here that I'm looking for. But I just feel like there's just an awful lot of this that you could add. The brother, the kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these virtues be in you and abound, they shall make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten he was purged from his own sin. He that lacketh these things is blind and can't see afar off. Do you know what? But you do. People who are striving to walk in the path of righteousness, who will make a constant study of the scriptures, which our brother here termed as living things, yet the living scriptures. If in faith believing you study these things, the mysteries will be unfolded, and you have every right in the world to be able to see afar off. Every right in the world to be able to see what's coming for the world in sufficient time to be prepared. In sufficient time for our people to be prepared. That's what I want to get at, eventually. He that liketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Or so an infant. shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you do these things, an entrance will be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I instruct very forcibly with this particular thought. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Why? You know what it means to make your calling and election sure? You're striving for the mark of the high calling. It's exactly what Paul was talking about when he said he was striving for the mark of the high calling. But the election, making your selection sure into the family of righteousness, is absolutely the only protection that you will have in the time of desolation coming upon the earth that Christ spoke of. But he said it would be a time of trouble such as never was before upon the earth and never would be again. But for the elect's sake, you see what it means now? Those days will be shortened. For the elect's sake. And I would like to have it said of me. Oh, yes, I would. I don't care if you say it or not, but I would like to have it true. And I would like to have the master of men recognize him. I'm sure he would if it were so. That for my sake and others like me and like you, if we were really accomplished, if we had lived in such a way that we were the elect, that it was because of us that the days of turmoil and desolation would be shortened. Oh, yes, I wish it were true. It is true. If we could be part of that people. I'm not saying we are. Like I said today, I see development. Yes, I do. Don't pat yourself on the back and say you've reached the pinnacle of growth. You haven't. And you haven't reached the point yet where God is entirely satisfied with you or me. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we have a great need for our spiritual revival. We need, from time to time, a message of hope. And we can find that message of hope in so many different places in the living scripture. And I assure you, I am glad you put that name upon the scripture and that identification. They are the living scriptures. And God intended them to be the living scriptures. And God intended for us to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they who testify of me, says Christ. And I think this part about it, for in them you think you have eternal life, kind of fascinates me. Because I just really believe there's a lot of Bible lawyers who don't know straight up about gospel. They think they've got it made. Because they can argue the Bible with people and know every passage of scripture. And they try everything in the world to refute and to tie men into knots with the scripture, but they're not interested at all in the saving quality. So it's not living scripture to those type of people. What might be living, all right, but it's living to the point that where it certainly will condemn them in times to come. So as we search for a message of hope, I would like to turn to page 317 in the Book of Mormon. And this message of hope here is a kind of a strange message of hope, because it tells about evil people and tells about good people. And in this 317, I'd like to begin with verse 57 and read to 89 eventually. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men. That's a good message of hope. The master of men has sent an invitation to all men. For the arms of mercy are extended towards them. Oh, what was this song that our dear sister wrote? I forget how it was, but extend your hands. That's the way it works. How's that?
Stretch out your hands.
All the Lord's hands have been stretched. Continuously. And it is so near we can reach out and touch it if we want to take hold. And you can find the method by which you can grasp it if you'll just study the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, and there they testify of you. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended toward them. And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. Ye don't get it into your head that this scripture is for the next door neighbor. Before you go to church. We're human. In our humanness, we just simply make mistakes. Sometimes knowingly, sometimes otherwise. And we should pray for understanding. So let's ask God to expose our imperfections and our mistakes, if not to the neighbor, at least to me. Expose my mistakes to me. And grant me, O God, the eternal Father, the strength to overcome and endure to the end. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life too. What a thought. The waters of life. Why, speaking of the water that Christ said, I am the water of life, and he that drinketh of me shall never thirst. And he shall never die. And some people get startled there and don't know what Christ meant. He's not talking about the physical body. Why, it's appointed unto every man wants to die. As far as physical life is concerned, but there is a water in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord, which we have heard from time to time from this pulpit. During this reunion of my every minister that has spoken, done a lot of iron, if you please. His word. That we must grasp. I want to say to you. And it is that water that if we continue to drink that water, it's terminal water some places, a rod of iron in a sword in another place, many different ways that have termed this great power that is accessible to every living human being if it will but meet the requirements. Come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life, yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the water of life freely. Yea, come unto me and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand, that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doth not the works of righteousness, the same hath cause to wail and mourn. O ye workers of iniquity. Another place in the scripture tells us about this word iniquity, telling of people who had wandered away from God. And if you take the history of religion and of nations, you'll find that in every instance where people were listed and obeyed, sooner or later they wandered away. And we have a record of 200 years of peace upon this nation. The greatest society that we have a record of. And yet we have lived 200 years. Upon this nation, it's been existed 200 years, and our brother said to the man, it seems as though about 200 years as far as we ever get in the nation before they wander away to buy a forbidden path. But ye workers of iniquity, he says, I was going to say that the scripture says, your iniquity has separated you between you and your God. That's what causes separation. It isn't God that caused it. It isn't your neighbor that caused it. It's just right here. If you would rather choose iniquity than righteousness, then you separate yourself from you and your God. And because it is your fault, having used your agency in the wrong manner, deliberately, then you're going to pay the piper. You can't get away from it. You just can't beat it. Nobody can indulge in sin without paying the penalty. It's just impossible. But you can, when you wake to the fact what you have done, you can beg forgiveness.
and by means of the water you can receive.
But what does forgiveness mean?
It means that it wipes away and you're not held accountable for that. But you have to come to God and fight with a broken heart and contrite spirit. Without that, the justice of God cannot be given. Without that broken heart and contrite spirit, I mean, you cannot receive His promises of good that we have so many of. Oh, you work with iniquity, ye that are puffed up in the vain things of the world. You know, we'd be surprised. Actually, I think we would be surprised. If the master of men stood here by my side and had a blackboard as we had here last night, and he had a piece of chalk in his hand, and he could write out the things of the world that we accept and don't think any wrong with. Boy, what a shock we'd get. What a shock we would get, every one of us. And I kind of think that because we feel we have the fullness of the gospel, we feel like we've got pretty good things on. Well, I do too. But you better use it right. And when you find out what it is of the world that we're speaking of, you better get rid of it. Nevertheless, they're going astray. What? Fucked up the vain things of the world, ye that have professed to have known the ways of righteousness. Oh, ye who have professed to have known the ways of righteousness, nevertheless have gone astray as sheep having no shepherd. Never, notwithstanding, a shepherd has called after you and art calling after you, but you will not hearken unto his voice. Behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call. And in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. And if you will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. Well, somebody might not have any great experience in spiritual things, and this is understandable. They might say, well, what do you mean being called by the voice of the good shepherd? I don't ever remember being called for the voice of the good shepherd. Well, how do you go about listening to the voice of the good shepherd? I'll tell you how you go about it. You go about it by becoming acquainted with the living scripture. You hear his call. If you don't believe me, I'm going to go with some more words that carry a little more weight, but in mind. I would like to go to Romans. And here in Romans, the 15th chapter, I'd just like to read one verse. That's the point. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Isn't that beautiful? And if you have comfort in the Scriptures, you're certainly going to listen to the voice of Christ, because the voice of Christ crieth with a clear voice, and it has rung out through the centuries by the written word. Why, the devil would have said that. So we had Christ up to tension. He kept quoting Scripture. But the master of men knew Scripture very easily. I could handle it. And he quoted Scripture right back there. It is written. That's not my testimony by God. We're going to go into that in Matthew. That's a beautiful Scripture. But the master did not hedge you there. But he used Scripture. And the devil used Scripture. And there are those that I term Bible lawyers that use Scripture today for the same person that ever is. Hedge you there, but he used the Scripture. And the devil used the Scripture.
And there are those that I term Bible lawyers who use the scripture today, the same person that ever did. So I would like to go back now to the Book of Mormon. Have you noticed during this reunion,
every man that occupied this pulpit spoke about 10 names.
What was the prime factor, subject factor, that was presented?
It was the second coming of Christ.
And the shortest of time to prepare. And the living scripture gives us all that is necessary for us to see far into the future and see afar and be able to determine as these things come closer than pin for not to come in the hour and know not in the age of heaven to do so, but my Father in heaven is Christ. Lord knows that. But if we can pinpoint the hour of time, the generation. My brother quoted the scripture today affirming that I have had on my list to quote. That's just I decided to start to say for a sermon in case that's the atmosphere. And do you know that every one of these ministers in far different places, we have no way of coming together. Now, we're going to talk about it for a second. Well, it's all said about the people. You know, there's nothing they can want to kill the spirit. That's exactly what it does in some churches. They have ahead of time a schedule what everybody's supposed to talk about on a certain day. It's not that quick. Because I have attended numerous services in churches that have that order. And I attended one with Brother Sheldon recently. Well, that was the order of the day. And every scripture they read had no spirit, no feeling in it. Everything they said had nothing in it because they had prepared themselves. They knew a year ahead what they were going to talk about. And they strove in the knowledge and the wisdom of man to prepare themselves. And they did so. They didn't have any spirit or any guidance. The Holy Ghost didn't touch them in their effort to promote, develop that which should be said. I leave it to Brother Sheldon as a second witness in this thing. Was it dry fodder, or did it have spirituality and spiritual qualities? What was it? I'd like to hear it.
Nothing to it.
All right. Now we come down to five ministers. Well, I'll say four. I'll count seven. And they were scattered far and wide, and they came to this vocal point. They knew, in reasonable knowledge, that the apostle would be asked to speak, and so they prepared themselves. The Holy Ghost was published in that preparation. I'm just as positive of it as I'm standing here. And the Holy Ghost brought the order of the way in which it would be brought to your attention. And it was spoken by the power of the Holy Ghost, as Brother Kelly, Brother Jensen read. And I'd like to turn to that. And I was going to read it, and here he read it today. It looks like the guy preached his life after the Holy Ghost had directed these things. He just got to come along, you know, and repeat what had been said. But there's still power in repetition. And I'll tell you how it works. Brother Pollock, are you with me? He was telling me the other day about a situation. I don't remember exactly the details. I probably had my mind wandering off somewhere, and he was trying to pin me down on something. I get that one here, that one there. My mind had been torn and thinking of this, and thinking about dinner, you know, and I get something. And I think that's what he was talking to me. I think it's about the dinner room to please the appetite. But I do remember this much. He said that there was a speaker. I don't remember who he was. But he was going to speak, and something. Was it your daughter or somebody that came to listen? And she listened, and he came home to his daddy. So now I know what you've been talking about. What you've been trying to teach me all this time. She heard it from another minister. And that's why God has called out of the world men of different textures and qualities. You might listen to me alone today and not get spoiled. And none of us, if I get up and use the same text, and you come to me and say, I don't know what you're talking about. I got it. You know why? Oh, Nephi knew he couldn't write very good. He knew he could speak. So he had felt the impress of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost had moved him. Had loosened his tongue, and he knew it. I don't say it to brag. And I have felt that same power on occasion. I'd like to give you an experience of how the Holy Ghost works. I recall one time it was a man in this room that asked me to be the spokesman. And to lay on of hands for setting him apart and ordaining him to the office of the Father. And I did so. And I was questioned after ordination by an individual. He said to me, and he shocked me. How you do that? He said, you know what? You didn't ordain me that, Father Apostle. He lectured me up. I thought I had. I performed my duties. I saw that I should. He said, you didn't even mention the name of Apostle, the word Apostle. And then my mind began to project itself back to the experience of the few moments that speaking and my hand were on the hand. Here again came to me the same thing that I saw. I saw extending from my forehead an avenue into the heavens. And as it went from here, it was like looking down a railroad track, and you can look down and narrow it. This looks just the other way. It's narrow here and wide. And I saw words coming out of heaven like on a conveyor belt. It came right there and hit me right there and came right out on the table. And then I began to recall the words. And I'm not perfect in the memory at the moment, but it was something like this. You are called with the same calling as were the men of the sea. And I called them to go and work for the gospel. With the same calling as the fishing are called from their nets. Sent them in to preach the gospel of salvation to the children of men. What was that all? Those fishermen that were called from the sea were called to the office of twelve apostles. You didn't need to use the word, you see? And the man that had challenged me on that never said another word. This, you can believe it or not. And I'm not disturbed whether you believe it or not. Not a bit. I know of a surety the experience that came to me. You can take it away from me, would you believe it? Would you believe it? It wouldn't make one out of it. I'd rather you wouldn't believe it, because it's the truth. A lot of people don't believe the truth. But that's the experience that came to me, and that's my testimony. But going further here, we find this. Behold, we were speaking here about the scriptures. And about the fourth verse here, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience, comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. But on page 164 in chapter 15, reading the second verse, but behold, there are many that harden their hearts against the Holy Spirit, that it hath no place in them. I've been in that position. And I get under where I was. Wherefore, they cast many things away of which are written, and esteem them as things of naught. It's repetition, you see, my brother gave it. But there's a purpose in repetition. You know, a few years ago, when Brother Kirk Cliff was alive, what a grand old man, what a man. Come on, you know him. Since a long time, a fellow said all the way back wherever he was doing some missionary work in the early days, said, you restoration preachers are all alike. Said, you just sound like a bunch of bad roosters. You crow just exactly like it. And believe you me, the ministry, call of God will crow like a bunch of batty roosters. They're going to tell the exact same story and from the exact scripture. And here's another model saying about the Spirit of Holy Ghost. I knew this boy's father, and you did, guilty as what I meant. What a spiritual guy. My first acquaintance with him was in a boy in his home. And we talked about the gospel of Christ and the scriptures, and he had been isolated practically most of his life there. And he studied with by himself. Not didn't have any help, he didn't have any other minister to help him. And so he goes to the scriptures, he unfolds the scriptures. And the answer was the same. In the man who called God to study these things comes up to say that to the cause. They have filled us out with that gift of the Spirit of Holy Ghost and it has worked in their life. And that's why they're one. And I say the ministry of this church that has stood behind this pulpit upon this occasion of reunion has been one, and Christ and God are one in purpose. Well, I believe that
with all of my heart, because they have brought to you the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they haven't deviated. And one said, well, this is the way it is, and another said, this is the way it is. The Holy Ghost dictated to them the true gospel law. And as they read the scriptures, they gave to you, or might, Christ must not be the target page with all of our interpretation, being human, but as far as possible, in our humanness and being guided by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, I think the ministry of this church that had occupied behind this pulpit thus far in this reunion have brought to you the power of the message and has spoken it by the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you were in tune, that same power has carried it to your heart. It can reach your heart in no other way. The Spirit of Revelation opens the mind and the heart of the minister. The Spirit of Revelation opens the heart and minds of those who hear, or else they do not receive. Just that part. Don't worry. Going back to this message of hope that we were going to read about in the Book of Mormon on page 317. I will continue with verse 64. And now if ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd, of what fold are ye? Behold, I say unto you that the devil is your shepherd, and ye are his fold, and now who can deny this? Behold, I say unto you, whosoever denies this is a liar and a child of the devil. For I say unto you, that whatsoever is good cometh from God. Whatsoever is evil cometh from the devil. Therefore, if a man bring forth good works, he hearkeneth unto the voice of the good shepherd, and he doth follow him. But whosoever bringeth forth evil works, the same becometh a child of the devil, for he hearkeneth unto his voice, and doth follow him. And whosoever doeth this must receive his wages of him. Therefore, for his wages he receiveth death. What is it? It's physical that he's talking about. Now listen. Therefore, for his wages he receiveth death. If you're following the evil spirit, he receiveth death as to the things pertaining unto righteousness, being dead unto all good works. There's where we can find ourselves. It's not hard to arrive at that destination. What you gotta do is just kind of get lukewarm a little bit. The Lord just spew you right out of your mouth. And he'll spew people out of his mouth. He don't want lukewarm people. He wants zealous, hardworking, earnest, desirous, loving, compassionate, kind, considerate, tolerant, patient. That's the kind of people he wants. Those are hard rock people. They're not. I don't mean hard rock people either. What I mean by hard rock people, they're upon the rock. The man that built his house upon the rock. Now, my brethren, I would that you would hear me, for I speak in the energy of my soul.
For
behold, I have spoken unto you plain that you cannot err, or have spoken according to the commandments of God. For I am called, and I want you to pay attention to this, for I am called to speak after the manner according to the holy order of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And our brother Sheldon the other night mentioned the fact that we believe, and I think it is, and I'm positive it's true, in these latter days the holy priesthood has been restored to the earth. Men today in this very room have been called of God. In my honest opinion, I believe it with all my heart. All I like to believe. They have been called, as was this man, to the holy order of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I am commanded to stand and testify unto this people the things which have been spoken by our fathers concerning the things which are to come. I am commanded. Well, that's been a long time ago, you know. Here's some modern revelation. Wherefore the voice of the Lord is unto the ends of the earth. That all that will hear may hear, prepare ye for that which is to come. That's also been a theme for the ministry that stood behind this book. Prepare ye for that which is to come. And it has been indicated, and I believe it's a fact, that which is to come that will start in the world is only a matter of a short time away in the lifetime of some sitting in this room, I believe. Such coming of Christ. Yes, I believe. And may we go just down there pretty soon. For the Lord is nigh, and the anger of the Lord is kindled, and his sword is bathed in heaven, and it shall fall upon the inhabitants of the earth, and the arm of the Lord shall be revealed, and the day cometh that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, those who have been called to the holy order of God, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and the apostles, the holy scripture, or the living scripture, I prefer to call it tonight, shall be cut off from among the people. They have strayed from my ordinances.